रखिए।
जय माँ। सो एज वी हैव सीन, वॉट एवर व्यू वी मे टेक, वॉट एवर थ्योरी और एक्सप्लेनेशन मे बी वी मे गिव, बट थ्री थिंग्स आर वेरी एविडेंट। वन इज दैट देर इज एन इनडिटर्मिनेबल विच वी डोंट अंडरस्टैंड, सिंपली इट्स अ वे ऑफ सेइंग आई डोंट नो वॉट इज देयर एट द ओरिजिन ऑफ थिंग्स। साइंस इटसेल्फ सेज इट, इट सेज आई डोंट नो, वी डोंट नो वॉट इज एट द ओरिजिन ऑफ थिंग्स एंड इट सेज इट्स नॉट माई कंसर्न, आई स्टडी ओनली नेचर एंड प्रोसेसेस। सो इट्स फेयर इनफ, बट वाई वी नीड टू नो वील कम टू दैट लेटर। सो देर इज एन इनडिटर्मिनेबल अबाउट विच वी डोंट नो, देन देर इज सेकेंड विच आर द इनडिटर्मिनेट्स विच आर लाइक chaos, that's all, a cloud or electrical points, something which out of which something else will come out. So it's an indeterminate. And then there are cosmic determinations. Things come out in a certain way. So if things didn't come out in a certain way in a fixed order, then there would be no problem. If just randomly some game was going on, probably there will be no human being even to study, try to understand. Then it's okay, we can understand. But the way things happen and the way they take shape, one of the things that personally used to marvel to me at least, that how come out of dust man has been created? So there has to be some great, tremendous something which we don't know. It's before turning to Sri Aurobindo that, and also from there came another speculation which was right on target, that if something has emerged out of dust to man, it cannot stop with man. Whether you believe in God or not, it's a different thing altogether. How can the evolutionary power just stop suddenly with man? And if you take there is divine behind, then all the more reason, because such a imperfect creature called me, myself, it's just not possible. It doesn't go with the, you know, the creator's creativity. So these two things one can purely by logical insight understand, that there is something which is happening, something more whose true nature we don't understand, and that fills us with wonder. We marvel at it. That's how the Gita puts it. Ashcharyavat pashyati kaschidenam. But we want to unravel the ashcharya. Why? Because we must get to the core of the mystery and see what it holds for us. The more we discover the deeper truth, the more it empowers us. So in that sense. So then first is the explanation of science, energy, random motion, chance. Accident comes as part of the randomness. And necessity, all this Sri Aurobindo has discussed, exhausted. Space, time, beyond it, all this he has exhausted. So it doesn't really explain. And actually it doesn't explain, even if we really look at it logically, purely logically, it doesn't explain. So what is the other proposition? Now he comes to, okay. So you see, this is important because otherwise your own mind keeps interfering with. So there is the story of Socrates who has gone out on a trip or a tour. And there is the temple of Delphi where the priestess would suddenly get into that, what is called in India, Mata Rani Ajana. So, one particular day when she will be possessed by the goddess, and she will make prophecies, she will make some declarations, some pronouncements, and they were taken as truth by the Greeks. So, and one day they put a question to this priestess when she is in that ecstasy. Okay, who is the wisest man amongst us? And the goddess is Socrates. Now, you know, goddess cannot be refuted. So people take it that, okay, Socrates, but now they want to celebrate. Interviews are lined up, CNN, BBC, our own channels. All of them are lined up. Everybody wants to give Socrates a certain, my Socrates, right winger. My Socrates, left-wing Socrates, my Socrates, this party, that party. So everybody is waiting. Socrates is moving around, then he comes and he is a grand reception, everybody waiting for him with garland. What has happened? No, we have an interview, right, you know, from the president, everybody is called you, you are going to get a, you know, medal What happened? Goddess has declared you are the wisest man. Socrates said, this is impossible. This goddess cannot be wrong. So he goes all around and asks all the wise men in Greece. So he asks a physicist, topmost Nobel laureate physicist. And he keeps asking questions. Further. At the end, the physicist gets very annoyed. He says, I don't know. Like, you know, when people cannot answer question of children, they have only two things. They will normally say, you are asking too many questions. Sit down. I used to get that beating. Too many questions, this fellow. 7-year-old. Why are you bringing him here? He is asking too many questions. So sit down. Okay, fine. Elderly person can scold you. The second way, if they are honest, they will say, I really don't know. I'll find out, consult and come back to you. Such teachers are very few. Of course, if you have the intuitive knowledge open, then there is no problem. But these are the two things. So he goes and asks. At the end, everybody gets annoyed. Or they say, I don't know. So after all this exploration, Socrates comes back. Say, now I know why she has declared that I am the wisest man in Greece. So people ask, yes, please tell me. He says, you know, actually nobody knows anything. But at least I know that I don't know. So, it's so true. Humility is the first step towards knowledge. You know, you cannot convert a professor who believes that he knows. And especially people who have read Vedanta and this and that literature, they will keep saying, they ask sometimes, which school of Vedanta Sri Aurobindo belongs? So I have to tell them, Sri Aurobindo is not in school anymore. He has gone to college and postgraduate level. Don't try to fit him into your school of Vedanta. So they're not happy actually, because there is this, how can there be anything beyond it? My is the ultimate. And this is a disease with which even mystics get. See, mystics will end up telling nothing, nothingness. So you ask them, what does it mean? I have asked this question even to Buddhists, that there is anatmavad. They misunderstood Buddha. So with all due apology, that's not what he meant. But that's how it is understood. There is no individual self. So I ask them, then why are you asking us to do yoga or whatever, be right, be good? After death, karma will come, but that energy will pass to somebody X, Y, Z, not to me as I understand myself. That's okay. It will go somewhere, it will affect. How does it matter? Because anyways, there is no self at the beginning. That's not what Buddha meant, but nevertheless, that's how it is understood. And when you ask that, the probe ends. Now, so if that not be the case, so what is the other possibility? So Sri Aurobindo says, then there is the other possibility, and which is so simple and logical. He says the other possibility is that there is somehow, somewhere within, an involved consciousness and will. The kind of knowledge and will which is bringing out, determining things. And then he raises the objections that one would hear. So what does it mean basically? That it's not just random selection, that out of genes when a body is formed and this, and suddenly one becomes Shakespeare or climbs beyond the heights, writes Meghadutam. So he says there is a possibility of, there is a consciousness and will operating behind, which is using this instrumentality of nature or machinery to express itself. We can take number of examples. Say somebody is typing out on the computer. So computer can bring out any number of anything. Now AI also can bring out even more things. But so far at least, AI will bring out what is fed into it. And I'll tell you, you want to play around with AI, one of the very interesting things. In Savitri, you have he and she word used. And it's so logical, it's differently used. If he writes about earth, she means earth. If he writes about he, and at the beginning of passage, you see man, still a child in nature's mighty hands, in the succession of the moment lives, to a changing present is his narrow right. So this his is about man, evidently. But elsewhere he will write, all this wild world is only he and she. Now he is about the supreme. It's very logical actually. But AI is not logical. So what happens if you feed he and she? It will give a very nice, you know, explanation, philosophy, and say he actually refers to the Purusha and she refers to Prakriti. No, you know. Don't confuse the already confused moments. I take these examples because I feel want to have an excuse to, you know, some lines from Savitri to come up. But this is how it is. He and she. So many places. Because there is somebody who has fed it out of many possibilities. This possibility has been fed. So that's why now that AI has become a tool, we have to, you know, because otherwise it becomes a tool for spreading so much disinformation. So one has to use, this is the new Brahmastra which has come up. So one has to master it. Otherwise, that's how it is. Whether it should have come or not, it has a lot of flip side, but that apart. So this is how, if not this, there is an involved consciousness and will. That's what is bringing out the same nervous system. We all have the same number of nerves, the same kind of brain. But the possibilities are very different. So there is a consciousness and a will behind, which is, the word he uses is manifesting itself. So this is the explanation he comes. There is something involved which is manifesting. So the question is, but we can't see it, know it. Well, logically yes, because that is greater. A computer cannot know a man, but man can know the computer. Very simple. So it will explain that why we cannot know, because you cannot know that by the instrument that it has created. This is the science of Kena Upanishad. Yan mansa namanute yena hurmano matang. Tadeva brahmantam viddhi nedam yadidam upasate. That by which the mind, that which the mind cannot know. Yan mansa na manute. Yena hur manomatam. That by which the mind can be known. See the difference. The man can know the computer, but computer cannot know the man, even though it's so. The human mind, the creation, cannot know the creator, but the creator knows the creation. So this is one way. But then that means the indeterminable will be forever indeterminable. So there is no real link. Shobindu is not satisfied with that answer. So there is a way people try to explain this, that yes, there is a omnipresent, omniscient, not omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent deity or God who is beyond the cosmos. And he has created all this by the fiat of his will. God said, let there be light, and there was light. That's how it is explained. But the problem there is, then there is one, there is no way that anything in the cosmos can ever know the creator. Because it's like the man making the computer. So this is one approach people take. Creator has made this creation. You cannot know anything about the creator. But he has made laws which are understandable. Laws are, if you touch fire, you are going to burn your fingers. So you must understand the law and live by the law. This is what the Semitic schools of religion say. But then, if the creator, which is again logical, is also present within, why presence within is logically needed? Because if he is just doing it from there, then again, the way the whole process is taking place, what is taking place? There is an evolution of consciousness, evolution of intelligence, evolution of faculties, evolution of capacities. If he is just creating like that, he is like a magician throwing out. Suddenly you have a pigeon, ta-da-da-da-da, pigeon. Then you have a lion coming out, lion. Also, it cannot explain why he is creating all these deadly fellows. Because people say, oh, it is God who created. It's thoughts of God. So Shivindu brings very humorously the argument. One can argue, couldn't he have better thoughts? His creation is a thought and act of God. He should have at least had better thought, better act. Because he has created all these things. even opposing him, and things which are really from our immediate perspective, ugly, terrible, to pass it on to creator is almost, sometimes an atheist is in a better position. He is at least not blaming the creator. God has created everything. He is sitting out there. He created. And then there is another explanation. He created man and man created sin. Oh. So man also says, you created me the way I am. How can you charge me suddenly that, you are the fellow who has created problems? So there are many things the extra cosmic creator doesn't explain. So if we say there is an imminent, the creator is not just beyond. He has to be beyond, because indeterminable means by its very nature something which is absolute in freedom. That's what we observe at the... But if he is also present within creation, imminent, then one can understand that it is pushing through these structures and forms to express himself. We can take that example that when in India earlier, when babies, children were born, like what kind of temperament he has. So they used to keep, a dagger, not a real dagger, but something like that. And the ink pot and book. So what does the child pick up? So based on that there is some probably inherent tendency. But that doesn't mean he will straight away pick up the ink pot and start writing. In all likelihood, he'll spill it over. So whatever be the truth behind the practice, but it means there is something which is waiting to emerge. Like the possibility of a tree is involved in the seed. That's what it means. So the possibility of this enormous creation and its variety is involved. So there is a consciousness and will which is emerging through the forms and the structures. Meaning thereby, though it's the same brain, but there is some probably little tweaking taking place that the same wiring is conveying 100 watt bulb or 0 watt bulb, or it can be used in this way to run a fan and so on and so forth. So this is the second possibility. But in either case, the mind of man cannot know. In the first case, it cannot know. But in the second case, the beauty is if there is an involved consciousness and will which is manifesting itself, then it is possible that the human mind may reach a point where it begins to become one with the manifesting power. It becomes the mind of God. Then there is a possibility that one can understand the place. See, it's so logical. That's what we see in the Indian thought. That Sohamasmi, the divine is not only beyond, but the divine is also within us. So if he is within us, then it's possible that through a process of evolution, because it is manifesting, so a time will come when one can look back and understand, because it has manifested its ultimate possibility. So that is the logic which runs in this second possibility. That's what we'll read. Page 316. This opens the way for other explanations which make consciousness the creator of this world out of an apparent original inconscience. All this he will explain everything, that where did inconscious come from, all this. A mind, a will, seems to have imagined and organized the universe. All these things we see around us are then the thoughts of an extra cosmic divinity, a being with an omnipotent and omniscient mind and will. So this is one possibility. And then he takes up. Or, so here again, the fact that the divinity is invisible to us, undiscoverable by our mind and senses, offers no difficulty, since self-evidence or direct sign of an extra cosmic creator could not be expected in a cosmos which is void of his presence. It's just not possible. So he has created and things are happening. So we can solve the riddle by saying, well, obviously I cannot see because, well, he is beyond the cosmos. So I cannot see. I cannot hear his voice, I cannot understand. That's what happened in Christian mysticism. That if somebody said, I have heard the voice of God. See, John of Arc was actually burnt. Because you are not supposed to hear the voice of God. Why? Because creator is extra cosmic. See how these things come. God is there. And he lit up light and then everything is happening. You can live according to the law. And you can find a seat in heaven. Same thing in Islam. But you can't imagine, it's blasphemy that you can become one with the creator. You can know about the creator. It's impossible. Or, if this creator is not entirely supracosmic, but is also immanent in his works, even then there need be no other sign of him. Except indeed to some consciousness evolving in this inconscient world, but only when its evolution reached a point at which it could become aware of the indwelling presence. Very simple. That's why they say if you want to understand God, you have to grow in consciousness. We have been hearing this as children. When we, you know, what do mama and papa say at their last Brahmastra? They'll say, you will understand when you become a mom. Now the child is waiting when I'll become a mom. But sure enough, when she becomes a mom, nowadays many are opting out. No, we are not interested in becoming a mom, which is nice. I'm not saying anything about it. But when she becomes a mom, she says, ah, now I understand. I used to think it's so easy. So the same thing God tells us, that I need not explain myself, you won't understand. But one day when you become one with me, that's my original plan, you will understand. Then everything will become self-evident. That's what the supramental is expected to do. Till then, we have to wait and take the journey. But if we take the idea of extra cosmic creator, there is no way. Then we have to only get out of creation. One difficulty remains. It is the arbitrary nature of the creation, the incomprehensibility of its purpose, the crude meaninglessness of its law of unnecessary ignorance, strife and suffering, its ending without a denouement or issue. What is this? Why did you create this? Agreed, you are omnipotent, omniscient. But of all the things to create this? So then the answer given is a play. He says, a play? But why this stamp of so many undivine elements and characters in the play of one whose nature must be supposed to be divine? Why have you created all these creatures in this play? Play should be nice. Both sides, nice themes. Sometimes some movies reveal such truths. But we'll not talk about it. But one of the movie is Ghumar. This girl who wants to become cricketer. She doesn't have a hand. You know, it's been chopped off. But she's excellent spinner. Left arm spinner. And how she is ultimately accepted. And how she learns. She participates. And it's amazing story. So if you look at the end of the story, it's very amazing. So in the end, there are, two runs to be made and one ball left. And all wickets are down. Normally, this girl never goes to play because she is one-handed. She can only spin. So they have declared. And everybody is very unhappy. And the team manager says, of India, of course, has to be. So he says, so much I tried. At the end, it is only luck. Then suddenly they see this girl is walking padded into the court. Then they all say this is so miserable to see this. So there is a dialogue which Amitabh Bachchan gives. He says, no, it is so invigorating to see this. The fact that she is going to bat, says now it doesn't matter. It's no more about the runs. It's about this girl going and standing and facing. And sure enough, she does the unthinkable. So this is the whole, that gives you the meaning of all this struggle. But if you look at it just cross-sectionally, not vertically, then it seems, why has he created this? So, a play, but why this stamp? Play of the one whose nature must be supposed to be divine. To the suggestion that what we see worked out in the world is the thoughts of God, the retort can be made that God could well have had better thoughts, and the best thought of all would have been to refrain from the creation of an unhappy and unintelligible universe. So you see, there is humor suddenly coming up. In Savitri there is humor, here also, several places you see humor. He says, okay, but why did he do this at all? He says, better he would have created happy, or best, why have we created at all? Because you can't understand the mystery. Okay. On that hypothesis, there must be, behind the action of the material energy, a secret involved consciousness, cosmic, infinite, building up through the action of that frontal energy in its means of an evolutionary manifestation. So this is the second hypothesis. He has exhausted that other one. That there is an involved consciousness and will which we cannot see or understand by the mind, but it is building up things in an evolutionary manner. And that's happening. That's something self-evidence. A creation out of itself in the boundless finite of the material universe. The apparent inconscience of the material energy would be an indispensable condition for the structure of the material world substance in which this consciousness intends to involve itself, so that it may grow by evolution. So this is the play. So what is the play? Hide and seek. The name of the play of God. Very fascinating play. So for some time you don't know that you are playing this game. You are only seeking. Where is God? Where is God? Then as you grow up, suddenly comes and, you know, hide and seek becomes very boring if the person who is hiding, he doesn't give any hint. It's boring play. For both. So suddenly he'll come and tap you. And he is hiding again. Isn't it? Then the play becomes very fascinating. Then he is seen here, seen there. Then eventually you meet him. So this is the play. The play, name of the play. That's why children love this play. Hide and seek. I don't know whether they play now or not. Or everything is now. They miss out on these wonderful games. Pahad Pani and hide and seek, all this is so nice. So, this is the play. So, there is an evolution that is taking place. Why? Because as the person realizes instinctively almost, where he must be hiding, where my friend be hiding. So, he gets into that place so much that he suddenly turns when he's about to touch and say, here, I've caught you. So, then the play becomes very fascinating. But before that, it's of this kind. So he says evolution. If there is such a creation by the infinite out of itself, it must be the manifestation in a material disguise of truths or powers of its own being. The forms or vehicles of these truths or powers would be the basic, general or fundamental determinants we see in nature. So we can take it like a writer or a playwright or a director, a movie director, who is to write a theme. What are those themes? They are all inside. All the characters are in the heart of Vyasa. The best, the worst and everything. That's how you cannot conceive without that. And he has to bring them out. So he brings out, what is the indeterminate here? The indeterminable is Vyasa. The characters don't know that we are just characters. And indeterminate, the general indeterminate is the paper and the pen. And he is writing. He writes Mahabharata, which is going to place him on pedestal. But there is something else which is hidden inside him. So Narada is moving around. So Narada Muni says, I know why you are so unhappy. He says, please tell me, because it's true that I have written such a fascinating scripture. It's being nominated for the, not Nobel Prize, you'll never get good literature Nobel Prize. So, but some prize. it's being nominated, the highest prize. But I'm not feeling it. People are saying it's the bestseller. But there's something inside me which wants to take shape. And I say, don't you know that something? What have you done in your Mahabharata? How have you described Krishna? He says, I described him in one word. Aparime. You see, immeasurable. Indeterminable. He says, so? Now you have left a secret in Mahabharata. The secret of Krishna. He is immeasurable. He is indeterminable. Is it really so? Cannot we know the indeterminable? He says, yes, we can know. By becoming one with him, we can know. So, write about Krishna. So, that's the birth of the Bhagavat, Srimad Bhagavatam, Puran. Because there is something which is left. So, again, same indeterminate. Now, he has written all about Krishna. But something is still missing. The last mystery of creation, as he said, Krishna's play. But what is this play? So, now Vyas has to be replaced by his upgraded version. And Krishna himself has to come and fuse with Vyas. So that becomes Sri Aurobindo. And he writes Savitri and the Life Divine. I am revealing all the secrets finally. That's how it is. Same indeterminate, same paper, same pen. But what comes out is the ultimate mystery of the indeterminable. That's what is meant by the play and the manifestation. Now we have to struggle to understand it. So that's okay. At least we are close to the mystery. So he is revealing to us that these things become vehicle. The principle of free variation of possibilities natural to an infinite consciousness would be the explanation of the aspect of inconscient chance. So you can understand chance also. Because it's infinite. It's playing with all kinds of probabilities and possibilities. So chance is only trying to imitate this truth. What about necessity? Again, necessity is trying to imitate or express this truth that there is a truth hidden inside which necessitates the emergence. So both these things, which are terms used by science, become explicable. The principle of free variation of possibilities natural to an infinite consciousness would be the explanation of the aspect of inconscient chance. The principle of truths, real powers of the infinite imperatively fulfilling themselves, would be the explanation of the opposite aspect of a mechanical necessity which we see in nature. Now comes a very big googly, super googly. The moment we say infinite possibility, it means the possibility of contradicting itself. So in this world you see, not only just a linear creation of godlike things, but the resistance, which serves a purpose, but we will be skipping chapters. But even the resistance is part of the play. We cannot spare in the evolutionary process a Ravana. If you spare Ravana in the evolutionary process, the fullness of Ram cannot come out. Ram would be only a very tender, Sukumar, full of love, sweetness, obedient. But Rama is known not for any of these things. Sri Krishna says, in Paurush, among men, I am Rama. What would Rama be without Ravan? So in the play, ultimately Ravan will go. That's because it's out of the infinite that these possibilities are emerging. No possibility can be greater than the original consciousness which gives rise to it. But it is bound to be there. That's how Sri Aurobindo explains evil and suffering. They are not in the beginning of creation. And they will not be when the creation evolves beyond a point. But they are part of the journey and the passage. So, but that he will come to later. So necessity, because people say, okay, necessity, but what necessity of these characters? This is the necessity. Because infinite possibilities, including the possibility of opposing itself. So that's how it comes, and it serves a purpose, incidentally. Often I say, if there are no challenges in life, then what is life? It will be so dull, boring, meaningless. Actually, at the end of the day, there is nothing you can really tell as a story to your grandchildren or whatever. You'll say, you know, I was born in a rich family, then I had a lot of money I inherited, so I joined the same company, then I, you know, my assets increased, now I'm passing on to you, I'm full of diabetes, hypertension. Will this story have any meaning? What a dull, boring story. But when you say that, well, I was born as a rich fellow, my father turned me away, sent me to Gurukul. Where I had to learn, you know, that's how, you see, Rama's story, Vanvas, all these things. My father, because he heard a lady's argument, he cast me away. But that's what creates me, builds me. That makes my story interesting. So you see, this is the beauty of the story, that this opposition is part of the play. So then he says that, well, all the unexplained processes of nature would find their meaning and their place in this hypothesis. He's using the word hypothesis because he'll tell us, which we'll read tomorrow, how to verify this hypothesis. But right now, science has one hypothesis which logically is not tenable. This is a hypothesis which is logically tenable, but still a hypothesis unless you prove it. If this hypothesis proved to be tenable, energy seems to create substance, but in reality, as existence is inherent in consciousness force, so also substance would be inherent in energy, the energy a manifestation of the force, substance a manifestation of the secret existence. So that's what Satchidanand is involved. So with the play of energy, that existence brings out existences. That delight brings out innumerable forms of delight, and that consciousness brings out innumerable aspects of knowledge, and that force brings out innumerable aspects of force. So the growth of the tree out of the seed would be accounted for like all other similar phenomenon by the indwelling presence of what we have called the real idea, the infinite self-perception of the significant form, the living body of its power of existence that has to emerge from its own self-compression in energy substance, would be carried internally in the form of the seed, carried in the occult consciousness involved in that form, and would naturally evolve out of it. Long sentence, but very simple to understand. Simple to understand is, we are children of the mother and Sri Aurobindo. Now the moment I start living with this truth, as such, this whole creation carries the divine within itself. However hopeless the situation may be, this is bound to emerge. So to start with, Alice in Wonderland, Dodo, who came first? Says everybody came first, everybody has run the race. End of the story. There are no comparisons. So this gives hope, supreme hope. Then the second, if we start with this, that, well, that's why idea and faith, Sri Aurobindo says, whatever the mind, idea begins to dwell upon, whatever the faith of man and the idea that the mind dwells upon, that he will become. So it opens doors to interventions. What intervention? If you keep telling a person, you are gadha, gadha, papu, you will end up doing papuish things. Because everybody is confirmed. Anyways, people say, I am a papu. So you'll be papu. But if you say papu, you know what? Everybody has hope, you know, all said and done. One day in some life, maybe you'll realize. So there is, we should always show the beautiful side when we meet, interact. If we keep saying that somebody is foolish, idiot, useless, then we are reinforcing the ignorance. But if we keep saying no, and that's what mother says, my child, I always look upward towards beauty, light and truth. And at one place she says, if the divine were to see even for a one moment this world as human beings see it, it would collapse. It would look hopeless. But why does the divine tolerate us, if we take that word? Because he knows it is he who has become this. It is he who is hidden inside. It is he who is impelling us. So you go and tell him that, Lord, are you sure I am the right candidate? What will he say? I have picked you up. Isn't that enough? There is a letter of Sherbindo to that extent. When people said unfitness. If you have got the call, he knows. He will not make a mistake. People will say he is a foolish person. See, what is he doing in the ashram? He is an idiot, such a sinner. What is he there? But the divine looks at himself in the creation. This is a beautiful line from Tulsidas Ramcharitmanas. He says, Ram so swami kusevak moso. Dekhi dayanidhi tahi vidposo. He says, if you look at me, Lord, there is no hope for me. Tulsidas is saying. But if you look at yourself, I am full of hope. You are the one who has created this, so you are the one who can change it. What a beautiful thing it is. That's what he's meaning in this long sentence. Okay. We should not get this thing by the English. He's using terms which a philosopher will understand. The same thing Bhakta will say in his own andaz. But this is what it means. That because the divine is hidden in creation, therefore this creation will release the divine. So he explains all this, and one more sentence somewhere we'll read and then we can stop. Okay. So the capacity, the process of the instrument must to a certain extent reshape the mind. So now there is a link. Consciousness is manifesting through matter, through life, through mind, through further. So now when there is a link, you see there will be an interdependence. In the beginning, there will be an interdependence. So if one may be a, you know, great possibility of poetry, but if you have a fever, high fever, because the bodily instrument is not letting this consciousness emerge. But there is a point where you can completely become independent of this. See, these are the possibilities which come up automatically. I remember one of my own things in before my MD selection exam, I had high fever. So I was reading essays on the Gita. So high fever, tomorrow is exam, but then I slept off or dozed off. And I had a beautiful experience, let alone the experience, but 16 lines of poetry just were flowing. And in that poetry, I was a woman. So at the end of it, when I got well, I said, I want to get those lines, but I could just not get it. So the fever broke through something which was inside the shell. For a moment, the body was... But otherwise, see, there is a dependence on the body in so many ways. So there is an interdependence. In the beginning, the greater is dependent on the lesser. But as we rise on the scale, the lesser becomes dependent on the greater. So this is what he is reminding us. All this is possible because the body has a subconscious consciousness of its own, which counts in our total self-expression. If the computer is not working, if that pen is broken, you may have a great poetry, but you won't be able to write it. If we look at this outer instrumentation only, we can conclude that body determines mind. But this is only a minor truth, and the major truth is that mind determines body. And this is also true in experience. There is a point of time when the mind, you know, Elizabeth I, when she is dying and they say, you can't get up, queen. They are shouting, we want bread, because, you know, she doesn't realize, because the ministers are not telling her the full truth. She says, I want to see, they are my people. They say, no, they are just like that. They just speak like that. You are on deathbed, you know. She says, but death can wait. And walks. I want to see my people, but death can wait. So you see, mind can completely reverse as it evolves out. But in the beginning, it looks like it is dependent on the body. So both things, sometimes in one life, one can experience it. In this view, a still deeper truth becomes conceivable, A spiritual entity ensouling the substance that veils it is the original determinant of both mind and body. So as we grow, the mind can learn to determine the reactions of the body, even to the overriding of its normal law or conditions of action. Finally, the conception of a divine mind and will creating the cosmos becomes possible. So basically, through the release of consciousness, the mind can reach a point when it is subject to the body, there is the instant reaction determined by the body and the nervous system. But as it evolves, it can give a very different reaction, like we know Aurobindo giving that, what shall I say, not reaction, when somebody has thrown stones, manifesting stones, occult processes, and that man, obviously the magic bounced back and he is on deathbed. And the mother goes and tells Aurobindo that his wife has come, she is wanting to seek pardon because she has realized the mistake and he tried to throw the stones and the magic has fallen back and he is on deathbed. Aurobindo's reply, he doesn't say, Jaisi karni, vaisi bharni. Bhagwan par pathar fekoge to tumko pathar milenge. Ye Bhagwan alag hai. वो पत्थर फेंकने से फल और फूल देते हैं. उनको एक ही चीज आती है, मदर नोज यू नो टू गिव लव. लव विल एक्सप्रेस इन डिफरेंट वेज, इवन काली इज लव. सो शोबिंदर सेज व्हाट, डेथ फॉर अ फ्यू स्टोन्स, व्हाई शी हैज टू इवन आस्क फॉरगिवनेस, डेथ फॉर अ फ्यू स्टोन्स एंड ही रिकवर्स. दैट इज व्हाट इज द पीक. Then the divine mind and divine will start determining. That's how we can play our role in creation, by becoming one with the mind of God. So the more human consciousness evolves, it will find more and more, the play will become more and more aligned to the divine will. And then we'll see the end of all the problems. We call as problems, but where they were part of the evolutionary challenge. So the sooner we'll grow. So if you are in the school of nature, school of ignorance, the teacher is strict, very bad, horrible. Child comes and complains. What do the parents do? They try to change the school, another teacher, somewhere some teacher will be there. So and you, what do you say? Beta, beti, 4 saal, 5 saal aur hai na, padhai kar le, ek baar to pass ho jayegi. You have to just finish this schooling, no? After that, when you become a teacher, this teacher has taught you how not to be a teacher. That's why I always say that, you know, everybody is a teacher. Some teachers how to be and some teachers how not to be. But right now, go through it. Finish. The sooner you finish, the better it is. That's how we were pushed to learn. That quickly finish. After you become a doctor or something, life will be comfortable. No, not true. But anyways, that's how. So we have to grow in consciousness if we want to consciously participate in the play, to understand its mystery and the magic, and help become his partners in the great game of life. Jai Ma, we meet tomorrow. Same time.